Now, today is Indigenous Peoples Day. This year, the Oneida Nation is marking 200 years of living in Wisconsin. The tribe signed a treaty in 1822 that established the Oneida Reservation on land that would later be inside the boundaries of the state of Wisconsin. The bicentennial serves as a celebration of their adopted home and a stark reminder of their forced relocation from their original protected land in the state of New York. We're learning more about the history of the tribe and how they made Wisconsin their home. Brandon Yellowbird Stevens is vice chairman of the Oneida Nation. Brandon, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
What does this 200-year mark mean to you and other members of the Oneida Nation?
What it means is just re-educating ourselves and reminding ourselves, you know, the long plight for the Oneidas coming from New York, upstate New York, and remembering that it wasn't always a nice, so bright history that we were removed from, usually around the Syracuse area, and having the Western encroachment, the New York's purchasing land from the Oneidas up in New York illegally, and having to sign the treaty, it wasn't necessarily a celebration. Mm-hmm. And so the 200-year commemoration really just highlights, you know, what our arrival to Wisconsin means, but also that brotherhood and sisterhood that we have with the Menominee Nation and the Ho-Chunk Nation here that were the first inhabitants of this area when we came.
I wanted to talk a little more about that earlier history. As I understand it, the Oneida Nation, their land was in theory protected under federal treaty in New York. New York State, as you mentioned, though, didn't honor that treaty. Can you talk a little more about that history?
So throughout the hundreds of years that we've been contesting that the illegal purchase of our land, we've actually won twice in the Supreme Court, saying that New York did in turn purchase the land without consent of the federal government, which is supposed to be kind of the mediator by constitution between states and tribes, and that didn't happen. And so in the Supreme Court cases, they did say that it was stolen, or not stolen, but purchased illegally. And so having that case won, we had to negotiate with the state of New York for remedy, because the Supreme Court basically said we cannot take the land back, but the state of New York had to provide some kind of remedy that would be an instance for the land, some kind of monetary settlement. Or in that period of time, in the late 1990s, we were in negotiations in early 2000s. We were negotiating with New York and other tribes a settlement, and their settlement clauses were basically trying to give us casinos, allowing casinos in the state of New York. And those fell through as a result of just New York politics is pretty convoluted over there. So those negotiations failed, but we still have an active settlement claim over in New York.
Now here in 2022 in Wisconsin, what kind of things are you doing this year to commemorate this 200-year history?
Just as everything we're doing now, next year we're going to have a lot of festivities, just historical events that happened over the years. We're going to relive some of the battles. We're going to talk about some historical figures in Oneida history. We're going to talk about the treaties. We're basically trying to educate not only our community, but the broader community alike, that we have a long-standing relationship with the U.S. government that starts with the Revolutionary War. And having that conversation in education really invigorates why the Oneidas are here, but why the Oneida Nation fights so hard for jurisdiction and sovereignty over areas, because when we were called to arms by the 13 colonies, the United Nation answered.
You mentioned brotherhood and sisterhood with other tribes who were already here in Wisconsin. Can you talk about the relationship between Oneida and Menominee and others?
We have a very strong relationship with the Menominee and Ho-Chunk in the area, and as also Stockbridge Muncie came over with us from New York. And so there's a strong relationship between the tribes in this area. A lot of our families are interconnected, interwoven. Now we have a lot of Oneida Menominees, Oneida Ho-Chunks, and so our communities are pretty strong. And we do, when we're speaking on the federal level, asking for more funding, adequate funding, community and trust responsibilities, we speak as one voice. And those are the things that we do as tribal leaders, is making sure that we are in constant communication on some of the struggles that we're having, and how we share those with our congressional representation in Washington, D.C.
And as we wrap up, you mentioned part of the goal of the commemorations this year and next year are education. What would you hope people from outside the Oneida community would know about the Oneida Nation in Wisconsin in the modern day?
One of the things, we always talk about how the makeup of the Constitution and the Articles of Confederation was based on the Iroquois Confederacy. And that goes back into our great law of peace, which is our rules, our Constitution that we follow. And Benjamin Franklin and the Founding Fathers utilized that method of democracy that we use for our Six Nations, and how that relates into current day structure, the three branches of separation. And so the same as we did with the Iroquois Confederacy. And then furthermore, when the Revolutionary War started, we were able to verify and register in the Wisconsin Historical Society a letter from George Washington dated September 28th, 1775, and it says, Washington writes the Massachusetts General Court introducing an Oneida chief who has arrived at the Continental Army encampment in Cambridge. Washington believes he has come in principally to satisfy his curiosity, but Washington hopes he will take a favorable report back to his people with important consequences to the American cause. And so that question that General Washington asked Oneida tribal leaders at that time was, will the Oneidas take up arms with the 13 colonies against the British? And so we did take that back, and we did join arms with the 13 colonies against the British. And we won a significant battle at Battle of Oriskany, and we helped Fort Stanwix, and also we helped George Washington across the Delaware. And so when we say that, the Oneidas brought 600 bushels of corn to George Washington's starving army, and we fed them through the winter to make sure that they were strong enough to continue to fight. And so those are the things that we want to make sure that not the broader community, but all students and all community members, that Oneida had a significant impact on American history. And as long as we continue to have education and communication and conversations like this, we are able to find our commonalities in making sure that our communities and our municipalities and governments work together for all our communities.
Brandon, thanks for sharing this history with us.
Thank you.
Brandon Yellowbird Stevens is Vice Chairman of the Oneida Nation with us today to share the 200-year anniversary of the Oneida Nation in Wisconsin.